Today, will Labour really cut migration and will home prices fall further too? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, where I'm the latest post covering finance and property news. Well, there is something in the Labour woodshed about migration that emerged yesterday and which may well signal a further change in policy to reduce migration into Australia. By the way, some tweaks are already in the system, though net migration is quite hard for governments to control because most of the temporary visa categories are driven by demand and not formally limited. And Treasury likes high migration as it bolsters the tax take, while big business welcomes more cannon fodder for housing and other services. But now, Tony Burke has evidently postponed a speech at the National Press Club due Thursday, where he was expected to unveil some far-reaching changes to Australia's migration settings in a bid to quell public anger and growing support for One Nation. That's according to an ABC report, who also said Tony Burke had been preparing a package of measures to achieve a quick and drastic cut in net migration. It's understood the proposal was considered by the Cabinet on Monday, and among the measures canvassed were tougher family visa rules, a cap on the number of backpackers in the country, and restrictions on the work and appeal rights of asylum seekers. Several sources, the ABC added, said internal deliberations had been highly contentious. Burke's proposed reform package was also expected to prevent spouses, children, and parents of Australian citizens and permanent residents from applying for family visas while they're in the country as tourists. This has been a common approach for many families seeking to stay together in Australia while they wait for their permanent visas to be approved. Australian law requires that permanent family visas be granted to all of those who apply, provided they meet the criteria. But the number of applicants far exceeded the number of permanent visas the government allocates each year, creating a years-long backlog. Family members who apply while they're tourists can move onto bridging visas while they wait, retaining the right to work and to access Medicare. Now, if this avenue was removed, they would have to wait overseas until their permanent visas were processed and may also have their applications deprioritised under the recent ministerial directive. It's also expected that there'll be a restriction on the rights of humanitarian visa applicants to work while their claims are assessed and to appeal rejections of their claims. A similar proposal has been floated by the Coalition and One Nation, premised on a long-standing concern that some migrants make false asylum claims so that they can work in Australia while those claims are processed and repeatedly appealed. Burke was also expected to reveal details of how the government planned to expand the use of lotteries for working holidaymakers, as flagged in the May budget papers. Lotteries are already used for applicants from China, India, and Vietnam, but one source said the government was considering caps on backpackers from all countries who sought to extend their stay into a second or third year. Currently, eligible backpackers can extend their stay if they complete a regional work placement, although British backpackers no longer have to do this. It's unclear whether the government plans to change that preferential arrangement. Now, it's worth noting one senior government source downplayed the extent of internal disagreements and said the elements that were yet to be finalised were minor, but confirmed that the changes would be wide-ranging and designed to give the government greater control over net migration figures. The AFR reported that a cabinet source said more work needed to be done on, quote, the finer details of the policy, and Burke's speech would be quickly rescheduled. There was no internal dispute about numbers. We just needed to do more work on the final details. There was no debate about the fundamentals, the source said. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese was on leave, by the way, and was not at the cabinet meeting, although he was aware of the policy proposal and it has his approval, the source said. Of course, the government has endured sustained criticism from One Nation and the Coalition since the post-pandemic spike in net migration, which exceeded 500,000 people in 2023. That figure tracks arrivals and departures of both Australians and migrants. Actually, as the ABC reported, Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke has already implemented several unannounced measures aimed at reducing net overseas migration, including a 24% increase in visa application fees, effective 1 July, raising $1.2 billion, more than expected, according to budget papers published back in May. And two ministerial directives prioritising onshore over offshore applicants for skilled and family visas, effectively slowing offshore arrivals. There were limited exceptions for those working in law enforcement and defence. The direction to prioritise one pile of applicants over another is a similar strategy to the one that the government deployed to reduce the number of international students. Before the 2025 federal election, the Albanese government moved to restrict international student numbers, and overall net overseas migration has fallen from just over 300,000 on the latest figures, but of course has repeatedly exceeded Treasury projections. Just 2 years ago, for example, the government forecast net overseas migration for the 25-26 year to be 255,000 and it ended up being 295,000 people. And here it's worth reflecting on the Canadian experience, where permanent resident targets were cut from 500,000 to 365,000 by 2027. Canada set specific targets, including international students, the most substantial reductions, and temporary foreign workers. So by the end of 2027, it's forecast to make around 5% of the Canadian population, down from 7.6% at their peak. And Canada's immigration reforms have actually proven extremely effective. The Canadian population declined by 187,500, or 0.45%, in the year to March 2026, and by 234,600 from the June 2025 peak. That's the largest decline in records dating back to the Second World War. And during his visit to Australia in March, the Canadian finance minister bluntly addressed the nation's immigration cuts, saying there's a fundamental principle that if you accept people in the country, they need to be able to find a place to live, they need to be able to send their kids to school, and they need to be able to go to hospital if they need medical services. We had reached a point of imbalance. We needed to bring that back to a sustainable level. So it's interesting to note, too, that home prices, rents, and housing affordability have all improved significantly in Canada, and it helped the Liberal government win their 2025 election. So what are the implications? Well, if in fact we do see migration drying up, that's going to reduce demand for property. And remembering that the property market is already in a downturn, this could have a significant further downdraft in terms of future prices. Prices in New Zealand fell as well, of course, over recent times, partly because of their change to migration. And we saw that in Canada too. So the bottom line is this. If, in fact, this is right and the Labour government has capitulated and will reduce migration, one of the bets you can make quite clearly is that home prices will fall further. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.